I'm Joe, as Sam said, I'm one of the elders of Grace Church across our sites. I'm Joe, if you don't know me. Today, we're on our final of three Giving Sundays, which we've been doing over the last couple of weeks. We've had two Giving Sundays already. Today is our last one. We're kind of going through this series on what can I give him. If you're kind of, I don't know, if you're not so regular here, then this is actually a great kind of day for you to be at, for really see us as Grace Church. This is really Grace Church kind of in action on mission. I'm just going to pick up my clicker. We've had a lot of fun with this thing today, haven't we? This today, as we do a gift day, this is us, you know, this is being Grace Church, isn't it? On mission as we give together to all that we're doing. It's not something we do very often. The last one we had, the last gift day we had, was in June 2015, so quite a while ago actually, and it was to go to a number of things to kind of help Chris Kimbangi get on his staff, cover his first year, and then also to help set Midhurst up, so it was well worth doing. So it's not a particularly common thing, but it's an exciting thing. It's kind of something we don't apologise for. It's a God-given task, and we love it. It's a good thing to do. I'm going to be preaching from the Bible this morning, so if you have got one, then feel free to grab one, and we'll turn there in a little bit. But if you haven't got one, just stick your hand in the air. Vernon is ready and poised to bring one to you if you need one. If you haven't got one because you don't own one, then you can take it home as a gift. But we all seem to be good. That's great. So we come to Giving Morning. Let me tell you straight up, for me personally, that as we do this and come to give, as we've done this over the last 3 weeks, it's not normal for me to give my money away. I'm not in the habit of getting out wads of cash and going around and finding people to give money to. It's not my normal practice. It's much more normal for me to keep my money rather than to give it away. It's more normal for me to spend my money on myself, you know, whether that's a mortgage or a bill or whatever, or maybe, you know, a latte from Costa. That's much more normal to me. That's much more of my default position. The majority of money I spend on myself. That comes pretty naturally to me. It's less natural for me to give my money away. That is not my default position. The reason is pretty simple, that like anyone else who isn't crazy, I prefer to be rich than to be poor. I like to have stuff. Therefore, giving money away is counterproductive. It doesn't help me in that goal. And actually, one thing, if you know me at all, you'll know this about me, that even though it is much easier for me to spend money on myself than it is to give it away, that is true, I don't actually even like spending money on myself very much. If you know me, then you'll know actually I'm one of the tightest people you will ever meet. When it comes to money, Simo knows. He knows I am tight with my money. You might have been asked the question before, are you a spender or a saver? You think, oh, okay, well, to be honest, I just think a saver is a kind way of saying that someone is tight. You call me a saver if you'd like to. What I am really is just tight. I just don't like spending money. I mentioned, I bought one story to illustrate, which is so kind of mundane, and to you, you might think, what has it got to do anything? But a few weeks ago, I was running out of socks, and normally, basically all my socks had holes in, they were kind of getting to the point where they were just not wearable, and normally what I do is I just wait till Christmas, because, you know, you get your annual top-up of socks, don't you, every Christmas, and I just wait for that, and then they see me through to the year. But this year I'd got to, like, October, and I was running low, and so I thought, I'm going to have to go and buy some socks. So I went to the shop and spent $5.99 on socks. And for me, that was a really big deal. I really didn't enjoy having to spend money on myself. And as I say, that is obviously such a mundane illustration, but that's something of how difficult it is for me to spend money. Does anyone else think they're as tight as I am? No, I don't think so either. Yeah, we've got some. Maybe some people think that their spouse is as tight as me. That's often how it goes, isn't it? Liz, my wife, is unfortunately the greatest victim in my tightness. She does have to put up with me a lot. One of the main ways that Liz knows that I love her, one of the main ways that I can show her that I love her, is by buying her things. And that's a bummer for me, isn't it? Because I'm not very good at it. For me, I feel like I'm really being adventurous if I buy her a Boost bar or something, or some flowers for $2.99 at Lidl. And that's a big deal to me, even though it's a pathetic little gesture. So do be praying for Liz. She needs it. It's not easy for her. Now, you might be a spender. You might be tight like me. But none of us like giving money away, do we? We all want to be rich. Whether you are a spender or a saver, giving money away is counterproductive to either of those things. Here's the question, though. Here's the question. We all want to get rich, but the question we need to ask when we're thinking about getting rich is, who is rich? When do we get rich? When do we achieve this title? And most of us, if you're anything like me, will answer that question by saying, well, someone else, not me, someone who's got more than I have, someone who is way wealthier than I am, is rich. But here's some numbers to chuck at you to think about on how much money people make across the world. So 15% of the world's population make less than £1.50 a day. 56%, so that's over half of the world's population, fall into the bracket of making between £1.50 and £7.50 per day. 13% make between £7.50 and £15 a day. And this is the point where I get to on the graph and I think, man, there's not much pie left, is there? And all of those people are under £15. 9% make between £15 and £40 every day. 6% make between £40 and £70 a day. And 1% make over £70 a day. And what does it mean? What do we do with this? I'm not trying to just chuck a guilt bomb on you or anything, but just what does it mean? What do we do with this? I'll tell you what this means for me. This means that I am rich. And that's uncomfortable, isn't it? We don't like to talk in that language. You don't like to use that word. But if I look at those numbers, when I look at that, that means for me that I am rich. And I suspect it's that for many of you as well. When you look at those numbers, you think, for me, that means that I am rich. Clearly, there's a reason that at me saying that, we don't all just go, oh, great, hallelujah, I'm rich. I came to church, I was really down this morning, and then I come, and Joe, my elder, has told me that I'm filthy rich. Praise God, hallelujah. We don't react like that, do we? And the reason is quite simple, that we don't feel rich, do we? We don't feel wealthy. Very few people do, I think. You know, however rich people are, very few people feel rich. And you might be thinking, where is he going with this? What is he on about? This is where I'm going. Clearly, money can have a lot of power over us. Clearly, money has a lot of power over us. It's so easy for our lives to become directed and controlled by money, whether we have a lot of it or whether we don't have much of it. It's the same, actually, for sex and power. Sex and power and money have power over you, and it's not really related to how much of it you have. So it can have power over you whether you have lots of it or not. So, and actually, even with all of these things, it's often, it's the more we have of it, the more power you have or the more money you have, then what we think is we just need to be, I just need more, and I just need more money. I just need a little bit more, and I'll be liberated from worrying about it. That's what we think, isn't it? But it doesn't work like that. Often it's the opposite. The more you have, the more you're concerned with it. Somehow, that is the case. Money clearly has power over me. I don't want to spend it. I don't like spending money on anything. Clearly, money has control over me, and I'm sure to some extent it's the case for you too. As I say, whether you're a spender or a saver, money has some power over us. So the question is, how can we be set free? How can we be released from the power that money has over us? If it's not having more of it, and it's not having less of it, then what is it? What do we do? How can we be set free? In a moment, we're going to look at a story in the Bible about a group of people who just nailed it, totally nailed being set free from the power of money. Because as we've been in these gift days, what we've been looking at is three stories in the Bible when the people of God have gathered together and given of their money as an act of worship. There's the verse in Matthew 2 where it says the Magi who had come to visit the baby Jesus saw the child, it says, with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened up their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They worshipped, and as part of that worship, they opened up their treasures. And these three occasions that we've looked at are just three occasions where the people of God have gathered together and done that very thing, and worshipping and opening up their treasures. This morning, we're looking at the story of when the Apostle Paul was writing a letter to a local church in the thriving ancient city of Corinth. The context of this letter is that Paul is asking the Christians in Corinth, the Corinthians, to give a financial gift to some other Christians. That's what the letter's about. These other Christians are in a place called Judea, and they are poverty-stricken and experiencing real serious persecution. And Paul's asking them to give a gift. And here's the thing about this story, that the Corinthians are humans. They're like me and they're like you, and so they're not crazy about giving their money away. They're not too keen on that idea. Paul is writing to them about that, and in trying to communicate to them, Paul tells the Corinthians about this group of people from Macedonia, the Macedonians. So that's the context. Okay, so Paul is writing to the Corinthians. He's asking them to give money to some people in Judea, some Christians in Judea, and he's telling them about the Macedonians. Got it? Kind of makes sense with there? Great. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians 8, so you can turn there if you like. I'm going to put it up on the screen so you don't necessarily need to. Quick heads up as we look at this story. This is a crazy story. It's one of the nuttiest passages in the Bible. It just is bonkers. But we'll read through and you'll see what I mean. It's 2 Corinthians 8. Says this, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches." What he is saying is, check out this amazing story. Check out this amazing testimony. We're doing Testimony Sundays. This is one of those really good ones. It's saying, check out this great story. And when someone starts a story like this and they say, "I want you to know about the grace of God that's been given to this person," I think, wow, this sounds good. Whatever this grace is, or whatever it looks like, I'm assuming it's the kind of grace that I want in on. I want some of this stuff. It sounds good. That's how we think, isn't it? Let's read on. "In the midst of a very severe trial." And then you think, oh, okay. So it's going to be that kind of testimony, one of those ones. You know, clearly they had to go through some really hard stuff first. They really had to suffer, but then God did something miraculous to bring them through it. You know, what's it going to be? Is it going to be some kind of miraculous healing? Maybe one of those where someone's broken a bone and God fuses it together. Maybe they're struggling really financially, really struggling in loads of debt, and God just provides for them miraculously. We've all had the money through a letterbox, haven't we? Maybe it's one of those. Maybe it's going to be one of those amazing stories. What happened? It carries on. It says, "Their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty." And this is where the story starts to go a bit crazy and get a bit nutty. How is that a sentence? Overflowing joy and extreme poverty. How is that "and" in that sentence? It doesn't seem to make much sense. It seems to be a bit illogical here. But this is what it's in the Bible. It's what it says. It got a bit silly, this story. We start to wonder, is this story going to have the upward turn that we thought it was going to have? What did this all lead to? Their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. And this is where I lose it with this story. This is where it just goes beyond my ability to comprehend it. Extreme poverty welling up in rich generosity. That's not what extreme poverty wells up in, is it? On earth? I don't know. It doesn't seem to be in my mind anyway. It's crazy, but evidently for these weird Macedonians that Paul is talking about, money didn't have power over them. They had been released from the power. They didn't have much. They were in extreme poverty. And whatever that is, I don't think any of us are in it, if we're honest. But they weren't controlled by their lack of money. They were released from the power of it. What's going on? Paul goes on, For I testify, Paul just says, I can witness to this, that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. That's just ridiculous, isn't it? Here's what I do on a good giving day. On a good day, this is when I'm on form, is I will try and do all the maths and I'll think, right, what is the maximum amount of money that I can give? What is the maximum amount that I could possibly give in this gift day? And then I think, okay, well, what proportion of that am I willing to give? Here's what the Macedonians have done. They've said, okay, well, what's the most amount of money? They've done the same maths. What is the most amount of money that we could possibly give? And then they've given all of that. And then somehow they've given even more than that again. What? This is crazy what these guys are doing. They must have certainly, clearly, they must have had some kind of grace of God for this to be a true story. Let's read on. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. I mean, I just, do I even need to say anything about that? I suppose I'm waiting for the day as a leader that people are urgently pleading with me for the privilege of giving to the Lord's service. Now, to be honest, if I'm Paul in this story, I'm probably just going to say, look, I don't really think it's the wisest thing for you to give your money, Macedonians. Look at the poverty that you're in. Look at the difficulty that you're going through. Is it really the wisest thing for you to give the tiny amount of money that you've got to give? But they were desperate and they pleaded urgently. So Paul clearly released them to do that. Let's read on, and they exceeded our expectations, which is, no kidding. They gave themselves, first of all to the Lord, and then also by the will of God, then by the will of God also to us. To me, I think this is probably just an obvious factor. Jesus said this thing so simple, so profound. He said, your money is where your heart is, and I just don't think anyone can argue with that. You can't debate against that. Whatever you spend your money on is what you love. And so clearly these nutters from Macedonia were devoted to God. Clearly they were to the Lord, but also to Paul and to the other apostles. This crazy kind of giving that they've got caught up in is only possible because they are properly devoted to God. It couldn't be possible otherwise, but also to the leaders that God has appointed over them. Now this is not the story that you might be expecting when you read the introduction. Let me tell you about the grace of God that is being given to the Macedonians. Their lives are really tough, really hard lives. At the end of the story, just as much as they are at the beginning of the story, but their grace to give is just phenomenal, isn't it? And it has freed them from the power that money can so easily have over us. Let's just read the rest of the passage where Paul continues with his appeal for the Corinthians to give a gift. He says, so we urged Titus, as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love that we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Again, that's not something people do every day, is it? Becoming poor for the sake of others. Clearly then, clearly we look at this story, it is possible to break free from the power that money can have over us. No one can claim that the Macedonians were rich. They were in extreme poverty. No one in extreme poverty is rich. But certainly they didn't worry about money. And despite really not having much and not being rich like many of us are, they didn't let money have power over them. So the question again, as we said earlier, well, how? How have they done it? How has this happened? How can these people be so crazy? So different from me. How can that be the case? And I think the answer is actually quite simple. And this is really the only point of the morning. This is the only take home. This is the only thing to say. and it's all there is to remember, and it's what I've called the circle of grace, which is clearly just present in this passage. It's really simple, super simple. There isn't much to it. This is all we're talking about, and this is what it looks like. It starts by receiving grace. Paul starts telling the Corinthians about the Macedonians by saying, check out the grace that they have received from God. And then having received this grace led them to give grace to the people of Judea, despite their own desperate situation. They gave their money and their grace to the Christians in Judea. And guess what the result of giving grace is? Well, they receive grace. They were released from the power that money has over them, and they received more grace. It's the circle of grace. It's all about grace. You could say it like this: when we receive grace, we give grace, and we receive grace. When we receive grace, we give grace, and we receive grace. And this is the only way that we can be set free from the power that money can have over us. It's not by having more of it. It's not by having more money. It's not by having less of it. It's by grace. That's why Paul says, when he's encouraging the Corinthians to give their money, he says, I'm not commanding you. You know, this isn't a case of, come on, this is what we do. We're Christians. This is what we have to do. Come on, fork up, give us your money. That's not what Paul is saying. He's not commanding you. That doesn't lead anyone to give that, does it? It doesn't lead the Macedonians to give. It certainly doesn't stir me to want to give over my money. I doubt it does for you either. Notice that the circle starts with receiving grace. It's not giving. Because we can maybe think, can't we, that the way to be free from the power that money has over us is to give it away and thereby demonstrate that we aren't controlled by money. Money doesn't control me. That's why I'm able to give it away. And people do that, and people sometimes do give out of that motivation. That's what happens when people give because they've been commanded to. Ultimately, though, it does nothing to free us from the power that money has over us. If I begrudgingly give money away, you know, just because maybe I've looked at some statistics and I feel guilty that I am rich and other people aren't, it just makes me more begrudging and more concerned about my money as I give it away. It doesn't release me from that concern. But when we receive grace, we give grace, and we do it with smiles on our faces, and we do it joyfully. And then we receive grace again. That's why I call it giving grace. It's not just giving money at the bottom. Only when we give grace does it lead to receiving more grace. So if we give duty, you know, if we give anything else, it leads to less grace and actually more power attributed to money rather than less. So if we need to first receive grace, then we can't kick this cycle into motion ourselves, can we? I can't do it for myself. I can't do it for you. Here is the key to getting the cycle going. It's what Paul touches on at the end of the passage. This is the key. Jesus became poor for your sake. It is always Jesus who gets the ball rolling, who gets this cycle started. Let's look again at what Paul was saying. What does he say about Jesus? Let's look at that again, for he says, for you know, so if you're a Christian, then you know this stuff. You know the grace, there it is again, the thing that kicks it all off and keeps it all going, of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it look like? What did he do? That though he was rich, and there's no argument there, Jesus, the creator of the ends of the earth, everything belongs to him. He is rich like nothing or no one else is. Though he was rich, yet, despite his richness and the fact that actually it's often those with the most money that are most controlled by money, despite his richness, for your sake, so your sake today, yours this morning, he became poor. He gave of himself entirely and emptied himself of all of his riches. Why did he do it? So that you, through his poverty, through his incredibly selfless and loving and giving of grace, you might become rich. This is where it all starts. It's where it all ends. It's what keeps it all in motion. Jesus, in his richness, willingly gave it all away and became poor for us, so that we kind of do the opposite. And we, though we are in ourselves have nothing, we, though we are poor in ourselves, become rich in him. To get the cycle started, Jesus had to become poor. He had to display ultimate grace to me and you. So there it is. Actually, if you were to ask the Macedonians, you know, they were in extreme poverty, but if you ask them the question, who is rich? Well, they would have said, we are. We, the Macedonians, are rich. They did consider themselves to be rich after all. And it was all because they knew the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the grace that God had given them. When we receive grace, we give grace, and we receive grace. That is all there is. When we receive grace, we give grace, and we receive grace. Listen to this morning. I am excited about the opportunity to give through these gift days. Did you hear that? Crazy, isn't it? I just said that I am excited to give my money away. I'm not lying to you. I'm certainly not saying this to boast in my own ability. I've told you, it's not me. On my own, I struggle to spend $2.99 on some flowers for my wife, even though I know she really appreciates that pathetic gesture. But this morning, I am excited to give my money away. I'm saying this to prove that we can only be excited to give of our finances when we have first received grace. I can't get here on my own. I need the gift of grace from God. And I'm sure, actually, I'm not the only one who has been really excited in giving through these gift days and maybe more today. It can only be possible by the grace of God. When we start and end with the grace of God that was given to the Macedonians and is given to us, who gets all the glory in this? Who gets the credit for this crazy behavior of the Macedonians? It's God, isn't it? It's the gift of grace given from God that kicked off the cycle and that freed them from the power that money had over them. Just as for the Magi who worshipped Jesus and opened up their treasures, just like anyone else who has ever given, all God's people who have given over the course of history, it is an act of worship and God gets the glory. The Macedonians, the Corinthians, they were giving to the poor in Judea. That's what they were giving to. But they were ultimately giving to God as an act of worship. And as we give to Grace Church this morning, we are ultimately giving to God as an act of spiritual worship. So let's talk a little bit about what we are giving to over these gift days. Through these gift days, we are giving to a whole bunch of things, actually, that we're doing as a church to advance the gospel in Midhurst, in Chichester, in Bognor, and also Havant as well. So that one thing that includes is our staffing costs for the next year or so, as they've kind of just gone up a bit over the last year, so it's to kind of get that covered for the next year. It also includes trying to get the costs covered for the first year of our new site, which we'll be launching March the 4th in Havant, and I'm really excited about. My wife and I, we live in Havant, we'll be quite involved there. Let me tell you about what I'm most excited about. I'm most excited about shaking that first hand of someone who comes in to our Havant meeting and connects with God and connects with Grace Church just because we have put Grace Church on their doorstep and they've come in. And I can't wait to say, hi, I'm Joe. Nice to meet you. You're so welcome here. That's what I'm so excited about. And this is all part, this gift day, all help to make that happen. One other thing that this giving helps to do is get our kind of finances looking good, because you've probably picked up that we're going to be going for a building in the new year to serve us across our sites, which is just an amazing story, what God has done so far. Loads has happened. And this morning, actually, as you go, we produced one of these things. So just to tell you about this, this is a little booklet, really, Home for Grace Church. And it's just all about this kind of building opportunity that God seems to have put before us. And it just gives you information. What's the story? Why are we doing this? It helps you to stir your faith. There's some stuff in there. Tells the story. you know, some pictures and some detail on the finances if you're interested. Primarily what it's for is to stir your prayers, really, to stir your faith. Because let me tell you two quick things to pray for as we go into this. Firstly, we really need to pray that God doesn't take this building away again and that he keeps it available. There's other people interested, as you would not be surprised to hear, probably, and we need to pray. This is a spiritual battle we're about, so get praying. But also, obviously, we need to pray for a miracle for the finances, for God to provide miraculously. And it's just to stir your faith. So they'll be available at the end. Do take one of those home and have a good look through, a good read of them. Because just to clarify, this gift day is not for this building per se, but it does help us to get our finances looking good. So when we go for a mortgage and stuff like that, the banks are reassured and they're willing to loan and stuff like that. So it is all part of it. It is all related. Other things it goes to this gift day, these gift days right now that we're talking about. We did our great community fun day, didn't we, in Midhurst in September, wasn't it? Yeah, great day, wasn't it? Just amazing. I feel like we really have not seen the true fruit from these events that we've done in the last couple of years in Midhurst. We're doing another big one in Bognor next year, which is good. And these gift days just help all of these things to happen. Alpha courses help them to happen. You see, it is all about the advance of the gospel. All of this gift day, we're not just doing it for the sake of it. It is all about actually making those who are spiritually so desperately poor, in extreme poverty, desperately in need, and it is about communicating to them and displaying to them the riches that Jesus offers them, the people of Midhurst, the people of these communities. It's all what these gift days are for. It really is about making the poor rich. I'm not just saying that, it really, really is. But also, whenever we give as Grace Church, whenever we receive any money, we always give away a proportion of it to others to serve and bless them. So for a few years now, we've had a connection with the charity Compassion. And right now, do you know, 181 children are sponsored through Grace Church. It's amazing, isn't it? Praise God. Isn't that amazing? But also out of the money that is regularly given to Grace Church for several years, Grace Church has been giving at least £8,000 a year to support a child survival unit that works in poverty-stricken Philippines. It's run by a local church to support the local community. They do just an amazing work to support new mums and babies, really. We're obviously so privileged in our country, aren't we, to have the healthcare that we have. And just to not have that is unthinkable to me. And so I find it so exciting and such a privilege that we're able to support mums and babies in that situation where they're not as blessed as we are. And over Easter next year, we're actually sending a team from Grace Church to go and visit some of the people in the Philippines. And part of the money that is raised through these gift days will be taken out as a gift to give to the believers in the Philippines, and it'll be done through Compassion. So we who are rich are giving to the poor in spirit and also the poor in money, just as the Macedonians and the Corinthians did. And as I kind of come to a close, let me close by just focusing on the one who, again, it always starts with, on Jesus Christ. So God calls us as Christians to give of our money and to get involved into this cycle. But you know, God never calls us to do something that Jesus has not first modeled to us and done perfectly himself. The New Testament actually is full of just kind of unending almost examples of this. Here's a couple. The Bible doesn't just say to husbands, love your wives. So I think, okay, I really have to do this. I must do this. It's my duty. I've got to love my wife. No, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ has loved the church and given himself up for her. The Bible doesn't, Jesus doesn't just say to you, love one another. It doesn't just say to us, love one another. Okay, okay, must love people. I don't really want to be honest. I don't know how to a lot of the time, but I've got to do it. It's one of the rules, you know, Christianity is a lot about rules, and you know, this is one of them. Jesus says, love one another. I've got to do that, okay, must do it. No, Jesus says, love one another. How? As I have loved you, says Jesus. So Paul doesn't say to the Corinthians, and God isn't saying to us this morning, I am commanding you to give. Okay, so I must give. Again, it's one of the rules Christians have. It's one of the things you have to do. I've got to do this. I don't want to, but I've got to. No, no, not at all. That is not Christianity. That is not the Bible. That is not Jesus. The Bible says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Jesus always models it for us. He is always the cause. He is always the motivation and the one who kicks the cycle off. What a wonderful Savior we've got, that we've been singing to this morning and worshipping. He's not a distant God who's just in the clouds and giving commands. He's not distant giving commands, but he's one who has perfectly modeled love and giving in every respect. So we are going to have an opportunity to get caught up in this cycle now as we gather to give as an act of worship. But the cycle doesn't start with giving, does it? It starts with receiving from Jesus. Obviously, many of us have already received grace. I'm sure many of us have already given in these gift days. But I feel it's good. We're gonna sing in a moment. And let's be open. I feel God wants to give us more grace. You know, there's no limit to God's grace that he pours on us. We haven't kind of spent it all. So what's going to happen in a minute? We're going to sing. We're going to pray for God to come and bless us with more grace. We're going to sing, I'm going to pray, and then after that I'll lead you all in the practicalities of giving, and then we'll send a bucket round and we'll go again, and we'll get caught up in this circle of grace. If if you are new this morning, or if you just feel kind of like you're visiting us, if you feel, you know, not quite settled here yet, then actually, you know, the same applies to you as it does to the rest of us. God wants to pour his grace on you. God wants you to get involved in this circle of grace. So perhaps you'll be led to give grace in response to receiving it this morning, but you know, that decision is down to you. Whoever you are, this is between you and God. So much giving is just between you and God. So can we all stand together? I'm going to pray, and then we'll sing together, we'll receive grace. And then I'll lead us all in the practicalities of giving. So feel free to start, Matthew, when you're ready. I might just get before God now. This is a spiritual moment. As I say, I'm going to pray. Why don't you close your eyes, maybe, if it's helpful to do that. Father, thank you so much for your amazing grace that you pour on us so richly. Thank you for this amazing testimony of the Macedonians and the Corinthians who received grace and gave grace and received grace. We thank you so much for your Son. Jesus, we thank you so much for the wonderful grace that you have modeled to us. We pray, would we get involved in this cycle of grace this morning? Father, would you pour your grace on us right now? I pray, pour your grace on us. Not a, you know, it's a drip. We pray for a release of a well, a release of a waterfall like Niagara to pour on us. We want to be overwhelmed by your grace this morning. We know we don't have to work up your grace. You love to give. Give us grace to free us from the power that money has over us, just as you gave to the Macedonians. Give us grace to give of our money, whatever we're going through right now, I pray. We love you, Jesus. We worship you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together as we receive grace and worship Jesus.